Do keep that really in front of you. And there's a handout as well, headed The Light of the World. Do make use of that, if that's helpful. In the Wilcox home, we sometimes play a game when two members of the family hide things around the house, and then they're blindfolded, the lights are turned off, has to be dark outside for the game to work, and they have to catch the other members of the family as they're looking for the hidden things. I think it's fair to say the younger members of the family enjoy the game at most. And when you're blindfolded in the dark, the sense of helplessness and powerlessness is overwhelming. Imagine you're in a large forest at night. There's no moon, it's pitch black. You know there are pits and snares around you and you can't find your way out. What would you give for a torch? If only I'd put it in my pocket as I set out. Well, hold on to that sense of desperation and bring it to today's passage from John's Gospel. And what we're going to see is that that sense of desperation, of desperate need, that should be our attitude towards Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Desperate dependence. Well, with that in mind, let's pray. The psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." Almighty God, we come today desperate, aware of our need, blind without your word and without your Holy Spirit, unable to see. So please would you give us light, please would you enlighten our minds and hearts, shine your truth. Above all, show us Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, first point, Jesus is the light we need. Have a look at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And immediately he starts speaking. There it is. I am the light. Not just light in a forest in the dark, wonderful as that would be in the situation I described, but the light of the world. We might wonder why he starts talking about light. As I said last week, the first 11 verses of chapter 8 almost certainly aren't part of the original gospel that John wrote. So this follows on directly from chapter 7. And we saw in chapter 7 this time last year that Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles when God's people celebrated his preserving and providing for them as they came out of out of Egypt in the Exodus and were led in the wilderness. And there were two symbols at the heart of the feast, water and light. And Jesus alludes to both these symbols. So in chapter 7, he said this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." And now as he speaks again, he picks up on the other symbol, light. As part of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, there were four huge lamps in the temple courts, and they were lit. The people celebrated the Lord's glorious pillar of light leading them in the wilderness all those years before. And Jesus chooses that moment to stand up and announce, "I am the light of the world." What's he saying? I am the light that you need. I am the light that the pillar of fire in the wilderness at the time of the Exodus was pointing towards. The light of God that led God's people, that was a picture of what I would come to do. I am the torch in the forest. I am the light of the world. Well, okay, but what is it that makes Jesus the light we need? What is it about Jesus that makes us need him? And it may not be immediately obvious because it's a difficult passage, but I think this is why John records the conversation with the Pharisees. So just have a look at how it develops. So verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. You can't say that, Jesus. You can't say you're the light of the world. You don't have any witnesses, any support. In Jewish tradition, when someone made a claim about something, they needed to be able to back it up with a couple of witnesses. And Jesus hadn't done that. Look how Jesus responds, verse 14. Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Verse 16, if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. Verse 18, I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. I know where I came from. If I judge, my decisions are true because I stand with the Father who sent me. My other witness is the Father who sent me. And then verse 26, towards the end, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. So Jesus has come from the Father. The Father witnesses to him, and he reveals the Father. So why is Jesus the light we need? Well, he's been sent by God. He reveals God. This passage this week is about revelation. It's about truth. So the conversation shows us that Jesus is the light we need because he reveals God to us. He reveals what God's like. He reveals how we can know God. And then he reveals everything else. Therefore, he reveals everything else truly as well. And it's worth saying we mustn't put any distance between the Jesus of history, the Jesus of the Bible, and the Jesus of our faith. Because tragically, there are many people who try to do that. There are people today who will claim that the Jesus of faith is different from the Jesus of the Bible. We might even come across people who say they've experienced Jesus in a different way, behaving in a different way to the Jesus of the Bible. Well, that cannot be. God the Father doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. As we read in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Jesus is our light as we get to know him in the Bible. And sadly, we need to say that that other person, their experience of Jesus is a delusion. We've all imagined things, but if it's different from the Jesus of the Bible, it's not Jesus. So Jesus is the light that we need because he reveals God to us and how we can know God, and therefore he reveals everything else truly as well. But that raises the question, what is the darkness? Because if there is light, there is darkness. If there was no darkness, there'd be no need for light. If the forest wasn't dark, there'd be no need for a torch. What is the darkness? Well, of course, if Jesus is the light of the world, the first kind of darkness is ignorance. As John writes in chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Naturally speaking, people don't know God. They don't know the Father. The history of humanity before Christ is a history of people grasping around for meaning and value and purpose. It's a history of the formation of different religions and philosophies, some of them grasping a bit more of the truth than others, but all of them falling short. And each of us is born into the world with ignorance. Forget the current idea that children have all the truth in them and education needs to bring it out of them. That's completely wrong. We're born ignorant, we need to be taught. Naturally speaking, we're in darkness. But in his gospel, John doesn't really focus on that aspect of the darkness. His main focus is a different kind of darkness, the darkness of unbelief. That's the issue for these Pharisees. It's not so much that they are in darkness, but that they want to be in darkness. It's not that they don't know, but they don't want to know. They've already seen and heard so much about Jesus, his miracles, his teaching. There should be enough to recognize who he is. But in their head, they have a system that the Messiah has to fit into. He has to come on their terms to fit in their categories, their box. We saw in chapter 7 last year that they've already decided he's not the Messiah. And so now they bring up the issue of witnesses. Verse 13, we've already read, there need to be two or three witnesses, Jesus. We can't accept your testimony. But when you stop to think about that, it's crazy. Jesus has come from the Father. He doesn't need witnesses. He explodes their box. But they're having none of it. Verse 15, they judge by human standards. Verse 23, they are from below, from this world. They have this world's way of thinking. And we might say they're blind, they can't see, they're in darkness. And that's right. But it's also a deliberate not seeing. In fact, Jesus calls it sin, the sin of unbelief, verse 21. I'm going away and you'll look for me and you will die in your sin. Every other sin can be forgiven through the blood of Christ, but this sin, the sin of unbelief, that cannot be forgiven. Why are they stuck in this position? Well, because they think they can see. They think they know what God is like. They think they know what the Messiah is like that they're looking for. And John's already shown us the root cause of this. He showed us in chapter 3, and if you've got a Bible, it's worth just looking up at John chapter 3. Page 1066. And verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. They don't want to see, because their deeds are evil. They're like those beetles living under a stone, that when you lift the stone, they run away. So they remain in the darkness, claiming to be able to see, but actually completely blind. Like me in that game, blindfolded, stumbling around, but thinking I can see. How foolish. But before we point the finger at others, we need to have a good look at ourselves, because I see this blindness in myself. I know that when I sin, whatever the sin might be, it's because at root there's unbelief in my heart. In that moment when I decide to sin, there's something I don't believe about God and his goodness and his power. In that moment, I believe it's better to go my own way than to listen to God and obey his word. Also, I know that until God opened my eyes when I was 20 years old, I was spiritually blind like the Pharisees. I've said before, a memory I have of sitting on a hill in rural Uganda during a year away. I had an open Bible in front of me, and I was trying to read it, and I couldn't understand it. And I remember crying out to God, help me understand. I needed the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. We see the blindness in those we love. In our life group on Tuesday, looking at one of the Passion for Life videos, we talked about how every human being deep down knows that there is a God. And those who are not Christian are suppressing the truth. We're all aware of people who just don't get it, aren't we? Who don't get what we believe and why. And we see it in the wider church. I mentioned earlier those who try to separate the Jesus of the Bible from the Jesus of faith. And tragically, there are lots of those in the wider church. Why do they do it? Well, ultimately, it's because of unbelief. It's because they're blind. At some level, their deeds are evil, and they want to suppress the truth about Jesus and his words. So Jesus is the light we need, the darkness of unbelief. Finally, Jesus offers light to those who will receive it. Verse 12 again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't Jesus wonderful? The people have been divided in their response to him. We saw that in chapter 7. The Pharisees are in the crowd. They've already rejected him out of hand. And yet he says to everyone, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever. Sometimes Christians are accused of being intolerant and exclusive. And yes, we do say Jesus is the only way to God. But we also say, with Jesus, whoever follows Jesus will have the light of life. The offer is open to anyone, even the most hardened opponent of Jesus. And notice it's the light of life. It echoes those famous words in John 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. Jesus is life. To know Jesus is to have life. And so to know Jesus, to have this light, is to have everlasting life, life in all its fullness. What a wonderful offer. And that offer comes to each of us today, whatever our situation, whatever our past response to the light. But we need to come to him humbly, asking him to open our eyes to show us the truth. Maybe you're here today or you're listening online and you realize you've rejected the light that Jesus brings. You've suppressed the truth about God. You're not alone. It's the air we breathe at the moment, isn't it? We're encouraged to be our own authority, our own source of light and truth. Find the truth within, we're told. And tragically, that is supreme darkness. Maybe you're aware that's what you've done. Well, wonderfully, it's not too late. You can come to Jesus today, ask him to be your light, and he will. Maybe you're struggling to understand. Maybe you've been coming to church for years and you're intrigued, but it still hasn't clicked. Something doesn't make sense. Maybe you're like me all those years ago, sitting on the hill in Uganda. Well, can I ask you, have you humbled yourself before Jesus and his word, the Bible? Have you admitted that you don't have all the answers? You can't put Jesus in a box of your own making. Have you asked him to reveal himself to you on his terms, not on your terms? If you haven't, well, again, you can do that again today. And why wouldn't you? Because he is the life of life, light of life. Ask Jesus to be your light in the darkness. What about those of us who have had our eyes opened, who are walking in the light? Well, praise God. There's no place for pride, is there? It's his work in us. And let's not get complacent. We need the light. Every day we need the light that Jesus brings in his word. We need to crave it. We need to recapture that sense of desperation, of stumbling around in a dark forest without a torch. Make a priority each day to use the torch God has given us, his word. And if you don't know how to do that, well, ask someone or have a look at the daily Bible reading page of our website or come to a life group or WOW or ask about the men's groups. Let's daily desperately depend on the light Jesus brings. Finally, as Christians, maybe you're wondering, what should our attitude be to those who aren't yet Christian? How should we think about them? Well, I think we need to be realistic, compassionate, and prayerful. We need to be realistic because there isn't just ignorance, there is ignorance, there is a deliberate rejection of the truth. A rejection that boils down to evil deeds. And the root of those evil deeds is pride. I know best. I know better than God. I know better than the Bible. It's pride. And pride besets worldly philosophies. It besets world religions. And so when we meet someone who seems like a good person but is not a Christian, we know deep down they are suppressing the truth. They are in the darkness of unbelief. They are paralyzed by pride. That's why, secondly, we need compassion. We need compassion because it's the fallen human condition that affects all of us. We need compassion because, but for the grace of God, that's where I would be. We need compassion because, well, look at Jesus and his compassion. And so thirdly, we need to pray. Pray that God would humble those we love, to pray that he would open their spiritual eyes. We need to pray for the same miracle that God has done in us. And I'd like to close with some verses from 2 Corinthians. I encourage you to look them up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Welcome back, everyone. You're back to hear these wonderful words from 2 Corinthians that we're going to close with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Apostle Paul writes, "The God of this age," that's the devil, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for his sake." And here it is. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' God who created light, made his light shine in our hearts. He caused light in our hearts as well, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." That's what we need to pray for God to do in our friends, in our family, in our community, in our world. So as we close, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, that you are the light of the world. We're sorry for the darkness of ignorance and unbelief that rests in us even now. And we grieve over the darkness of ignorance and unbelief that is in this world. And we pray that you would let the light shine. And we pray for those that we love and for ourselves, that we would seek the light more and more desperately, depending on you. Amen.